from a veil. Do you think you can tell? Did they get you to trade your heroes for ghosts, hot ashes for trees, hot air for a cool breeze, cold comfort for change? Did you exchange a walk on part in the war?
This is Jam Live, and you've been listening to a live performance by Smokestack Music Productions from Sitka, Alaska, featuring Pink Floyd's album Wish You Were Here. In the next segment of the show, we have an interview with three members of the band. Radio host Rich McClear sat down at KCAW Sitka Community Radio in a conversation with Joe Montagna, Drew Sherman, and Jen Reed.
We're in the studio at Raven Radio, KCAW Sitka. We're talking with Jen Reed, with Drew Sherman, and with Joe Montagna from Smokestack Productions. Is that what it is?
Yes, Smokestack Music.
Smokestack Music. Several months ago, I went into a theater in Sitka. Now, in Sitka is a rock in the Gulf of Alaska. And I'm used to seeing acoustic acts, maybe a piano recital, a country band, something like that. I went in and saw a full-blown rock and roll show with lights, with sound, with a screaming crowd, and just it just shook me to the core. It was wonderful. How did that start up in Sitka?
Well, Drew Sherman
and this is Joe Montagna.
This is Joe speaking.
Joe Montagna speaking.
Drew played bass. He still does play bass, actually.
Occasionally.
I play guitar. And we were just talking about, basically, we need some cool music, you know, on that stage. There was some bizarre Kiss tribute band like 10 years ago, and that was like the last rock and roll thing that they had in there. And I said, we got to top that. Like, how can we let Kiss be the only rock tribute band? And I believe we mentioned, let's do Dark Side of the Moon, whole thing. Imagine that, you know, because it's quite the task to think about covering that whole album. Do we give Roger credit for this one? Was he the Queen one?
Who is Roger?
Roger Schmidt, director of the Fine Arts Camp.
Okay, Fine Arts Camp.
He had something to do with this, didn't he?
Okay, Drew, now you work for the Fine Arts Camp, right?
That's correct.
Drew Sherman.
Oh, he works.
Okay, now, what's your story? How did you start doing a rock and roll show in the Sitka Performing Arts Center?
Basically, it was an idea that Roger and I came up with after kind of reviewing what we had in the pack and seeing the things that... Well, we could do that with that and, you know, seeing all the different lights that we never used before that are typically used during theatrical productions or piano concerts. So we kind of brainstormed about how we could use all that stuff and kind of debut a new kind of concert in Sitka. So we got our band together and with the help of Joe here and decided on Dark Side of the Moon because we had a bunch of different moving lights and different video things we were going to try out. So we figured, why not do a whole album?
Now, Joe Montagna, have you played with Drew before, or was this?
We might have jammed, you know, local stuff, bar covers, stuff like that. Nothing major. Mm-hmm. We never took it to the fourth chord. We just did lots of three chord stuff.
Jen Reed, you were one of the vocalists on Dark Side of the Moon. How did you get involved in this?
Yeah.
I got hired by Joe and Drew to sing. They let me sing in their band.
Hired, huh?
Okay. Hired. I don't remember getting paid, but I got hired.
I think we need some disclosure here. You knew each other beforehand,
yeah,
obviously.
Yeah, I knew Joe Montagna a little bit from before. And
basically, Drew and I were like, great, we got the whole set figured out. But I can't sing Great Gig in the Sky, and Drew's voice is even deeper than mine. So we were like, who's going to sing Great Gig in the Sky? And we looked at Jen. Jen laughed at us at first. Ah, yeah, okay. And then the rest is...
And I did it.
Yeah, she
figured
did.
Figured it out.
Now, it really had a tremendous response here in Sitka. I mean, there were people in the aisles screaming. It just got people really excited. Did that push you to do more?
More in the big picture, you mean?
Yeah, more.
Yeah, I think
more
so.
More rock and roll.
Although we couldn't see anyone in the aisles from where we were because the quasi-lasers, and they weren't actually lasers, but there was so many lights going on. We want to talk about that show. Like, the stage show was pretty cool. We had a video screen going in the background just like Pink Floyd did, but we had our own video made. Drew and his production team, you're going to have to say her name the correct way because I always mess it up.
Christina Vandenhagen.
Thank you. Put together a montage, a 46-minute video, right, that coincided with our set. So when the lion roared the third time, you hit play, and then you get to watch the video as we played Dark Side of the Moon, note for note, in its entirety.
And we incorporated some of the original concert footage that I had found for the 1973 Dark Side tour, and then we added in Sicka specific things and references. So we had a scene that was just whales swimming for a while, and then pan over to jellyfish, and then, you know.
Now, Dark Side of the Moon was just the start. Tell us where it went from there.
Well, it actually went to a Queen concert after that. Because we did Dark Side twice, okay, if you want to go back in history here. 2018, I believe, was the first Pink Floyd Dark Side show at the PAC. And then fall of 19, we brought the Queen show here with Sam Faustine on lead vocals and pretty much the Pink Floyd backing band was the band, and that went over huge. That one we saw people dancing in the aisles and whatnot. That was a full-blown rock concert, but we'll save that for another interview. And then after that, we said for the spring, let's bring back the Floyd show again, but let's up the ante and add Wish You Were Here album. So we did two sets.
And that at that point, we were confident enough to do quadraphonic sound, so we had 4 points of speakers around the audience.
Ben, you got a future in rock and roll?
Do I have a future in rock and roll?
She is the future of rock and roll.
Yeah.
She has no choice.
I don't think I get to say no, really.
Well, the plan is to do a Woodstock show. I've heard Roger talk about that. Well, we'll bring in Jen. So Jen will do the Janis Joplin role, for example. You know, she specializes in those certain roles. You know, we're not going to have her do... Barbara Streisand, you know, no offense to you Streisand fans, but it just wouldn't fit, you know, or Nicki Minaj would not be a Jen Reed thing. That would be more of a, maybe a Rhiannon Gavon, you know, like role. But just for vocals, you know, Jen specializes in that style, and I'm just teasing Rhiannon, if you're out there. Rhiannon, by the way, who sings classical music, who just played with that brass ensemble, gives me ideas to say, well, we can bring anything we want to this pack now. And then Drew put together a website. I'm not sure if it's still active. It could be active, right?
It's the Facebook.
It's the Facebook, sure. Okay. Where you pretty much can book certain packages that you want. Like, do you want a band with a, you know, jazz trio? Do you want a wedding band with a, you know, a tribute? You know, things like that. So we're hoping to expand now that live music is making a comeback. You know, you can rent Drew to be the sound man. Smokestack Music does sound, and Drew's done plenty of gigs where he brings the full production, the light rigs and the sound rigs and everything. He worked the Alaska Day 2019, where we set up for hundreds of people here in Sitka outside and pulled it off without out-of-state, you know, talent came in. And so, I mean, Smokestack, you know, is going to be a multi-branched musical thing, which we hope, you know, I mean, heck, we could pull off Dark Side of the Moon and a Freddie Mercury tribute. I think anything's possible.
Now, you did the Van Halen tribute. It was the first thing that was at the Performing Arts Center after the COVID. How did that come off? How did that feel?
It was fun. It was weird. You know, it was definitely weird because we hadn't played with live human beings in over a year and a half. But I think what was the icebreaker was we got our old Queen singer back, and he's a fun dude. You know, he just shows up. He's all happy-go-lucky, and, you know, the rest of us have 9-to-5 jobs, and we're like, oh, another rehearsal. But it felt like fun to jam again because, again, someone like him came. Drew's friend Trevor came and did the Eddie Van Halen stunt guitar parts, I called him, because he was just phenomenal. So then with the outsiders, I think it helped because now we had these outsiders that we wanted to gel with, and they wanted to have fun with us. So it made it seem like... the musicians and all of us, it just kicked into, like, autopilot.
Why did you pick Pink Floyd to start with?
I think we're just fans.
I mean, it's just funny. If I look back and I'm like, wow, we did it, you know, I did a Kiss tribute show, a Pink Floyd and a Queen tribute and a Van Halen tribute, like all my favorite bands growing up. So Hall & Oates is next if we're going to follow the Joe. I don't like, there's no other, I mean, maybe Led Zeppelin, right? But we are thinking about covering the obvious, like, you know, the Zeppelin, the Eagles, Ozzy. Drew's got a guy that can sing the Ozzy stuff. And, you know, it might be a different venue. We might want to bring that to Centennial where we can serve beer, for example, instead of having it at the PAC. We're definitely talking about bringing Queen back But the fans are listening to this Pink Floyd record tonight on their radio when they hear this interview. So, you know, we're going to give Pink Floyd a rest for a while, but we have this recording now that's going to live forever, and we hope that people enjoy that. We could talk about Wish You Were Here for a little bit. We haven't really discussed that.
Let's do that. Why was that the second album?
That's a good question.
That you did.
Because it followed Dark Side of the Moon.
Fair enough.
Does it chronologically?
It does.
It was their next album? Yeah, there you go.
I think we felt that that one had the best chance to go onto a stage and be received by an audience. The Wall is, you have to build the wall if you're going to do The Wall, and we didn't have that capacity.
Don't give Roger ideas.
That was your encore, though, in the Dark Side.
One song, yeah. Oh, we did Another Brick in the Wall.
Yeah.
We did Comfortably Numb second time around.
Yeah.
From The Wall.
From The Wall. Yeah. So the Wall gave you your encore pieces.
Yeah.
Sure. But the Wish You Were Here album has all those radio hits.
Right.
The Have a Cigar, Wish You Were Here, Welcome to the Machine. So that's why I think, like Drew said, it crossed over to the crowd easy. Mm-hmm. Although there's some obscure jamming on that album. I mean, I remember when I was 12.
Parts 1 through 7.
Right. My dad walks in and goes, since when are you a jazz fan? I was like 11 or 12 years old. I'm like, it's Pink Floyd, Dad. He's like, what? You know? So we did that. You know, Mike Sullivan came in with the sax.
Yeah.
And he did a fantastic job on that. We should shout out the band while we're at it. Let's see. Johnny Elliott played keyboards. Andrew Hames was our primary lead vocalist. Abby Size sang background vocals. Jen Reed, of course, sang lead on a bunch of tunes. So did Abby. Abby killed it on Have a Cigar. I thought she did a great job. And here's like a 19-year-old kid singing, you know, a song that's three times her age. Jake Falvey played some guitar with us. Pignose Bob played the pedal steel-ish slide guitar on some of those Pink Floyd tracks. Who am I forgetting, guys? Peter Apathy, of course, who put this interview together.
Ed
Littlefield, was our drummer for Pink Floyd. And that's right. How can we forget Ed? And he does all the screams. And Drew Sherman does all the... You're going to have to do a sample of it. He does all the vocal sound effects, like on Welcome to the Machine. Like
the machine sounds.
Do a second of those. I mean, that's him.
That's all live vocal performance.
It's crazy. You're going to hear it on the recording. It's crazy. But yeah, so, you know, I would like to do that album again. Doing it the first time around was almost like, you know, we wanted to play it so perfectly, and some of the parts were challenging for myself alone, and definitely to put together with the whole band. We pulled it off, as you'll hear in the recording, but we are available for bookings. We're out of Sitka, Alaska, and we'd love to come perform at a theater near you. The more light you have, the better. It'll just look cool. But the music speaks for itself. If you hear us, you know, we definitely have the parts and the sounds. We're eager to get out there and play again.
I got one more question for you, Joe. You're a kindergarten teacher.
I am.
Your kids were in the audience. How did they respond? What does that make class like the next day when they come in after seeing Mr. Joe as a rock and roller on stage?
It's fun, of course, because, you know, when you're a PE teacher for kindergarten, you're already rock star status because you're the fun guy, right? I play all the games with the kids, and it's like the only break of the day besides recess where they're having fun at school. I shouldn't say that to teachers out there. Of course, they have fun at school. Jen Reed is a fifth grade teacher, by the way. But my point is, and everyone knows what I'm talking about, I saw you on that stage. I saw you on the guitar. And, you know, and whoever they recognize, it's automatic, like, star status. So it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
A kid was near me in the audience, and all of a sudden this light one says, that's Mr. Joe.
It's David Gilmour for the next 45 minutes, son. But, yes. Yeah, it's fun. It's totally fun.
Anything else you guys want to add?
More shows.
More shows.
Yeah.
And that's the end of the interview, recorded at Raven Radio, KCAW Sitka. Rich McClear with Joe Montagna, Drew Sherman, and Jen Reed.
Well, this is it for today's show. Tune in for the second part of the Pink Floyd tribute, featuring the complete album of Dark Side of the Moon, plus some additional specials. The concert was recorded by Christopher Wasberg from Precision Sound Productions, audio post-production by John Hirschenreiter. We also want to thank Jam Live volunteers Charlie Morgan, Peter Apathy, Rich McClear, and Dieter Gade for making this episode possible. I am RP Singh. And of course, thanks to you for joining us. Check out all the other live recordings we have on our website, junctionjam.ca. Just go to the Jam Live tab. There's sure to be plenty more music to entertain you, whatever your tastes. See ya.